This is Dropout Nation. I'm Rashawn Biddle. Today on the Dropout Nation podcast, the power of high standards, fostering the cultures of high expectations all children need for lifelong success. Last week, one of the nation's leading think tanks came out with a report that once again reminds us all about the importance of strong, comprehensive college preparatory standards in transforming American public education, and why our children and teachers benefit from high standards and the high expectations that come with them. This report, released by the education sector, looked at the performance of states after the passage of the No Child Left Behind Act, asking the question, do struggling students benefit from high standards? And in what states who took the opportunity to improve their standards did once the No Child Left Behind Act gave them that chance. It focused on what happened to those states that took the opportunities given by this law, probably the most important federal law that we've seen in the last two or three decades, and what happened to students in states that watered down their standards in order to gain adequate yearly progress and other provisions that provided accountability. Using 8 years of data from the results from the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the Federal Test of Academic Proficiency, ed sector researchers Constance Cook and Peter Cookson Jr. determined the level by which states with high academic standards moved more children from illiteracy and numeracy. The results are amazing, though to those of us at Dropout Nation and to our readers, not exactly shocking. In fourth grade math, on average, states with high curriculum standards reduced the number of students scoring below basic by 26% between 2003 and 2011. That's 6 points more than states that watered down or failed to improve their academic standards. In eighth grade math, the numbers were even more startling. The average high standard state reduced the percentage of enumerate students by 23 percentage points in that same period, 9 points more than low standard states. And as for reading, the average high standard state reduced the percentage of students reading below basic by 10%, a percentage more than a low standard counterpart. And there was really almost no change in 8th grade reading. This isn't shocking, because the nation as a whole is still struggling with improving how it deals with literacy, and standards alone aren't enough to improve how kids are reading, especially helping kids who are struggling before they get into 4th grade. But when you look at states that have greatly improved their reading standards and have also embraced other approaches to improving literacy, versus those who did not, the differences are stunning, and this is just coming from Dropout Nation's analysis. And this is especially true when one looks at poor and minority children. In Florida, for example, where they restrict kids who are in third grade reading poorly from going into fourth, and where they put in more aggressive reforms in literacy, even though that state still hasn't gotten up to par as it needs to, the percentage of fourth grade black students reading below basic declined by 15 percentage points between 2003 and 2011. We're talking about 8,723 fewer black children mired in illiteracy in 2011 than 8 years earlier. And meanwhile, guess what? The average scale score had improved almost by a grade level. That's better than the improvement by Virginia, a state that didn't improve its standards. The percentage of fourth grade black students in Virginia struggling with literacy declined by just a mere 6 percentage points in that same period, which means only 3,135 fewer black students were mired in academic failure than a year after the passage of No Child. For those states that have had high standards for a long time and have continued to improve them, the gains were especially interesting and wonderful to watch. In Massachusetts, for example, the percentage of fourth graders performing below basic declined by 10 percentage points between 2003 and 2011. That included an 11% decline for black students and a 19% decline for Latino students. Essentially, we're talking about 8,201 fewer illiterate fourth graders in 2011 than 8 years earlier. Writes Clarkson and Cookson, it is evident that high standards, when tied to high performance expectations, carry several benefits for students who are most academically challenged. While standards on their own aren't enough to improve student achievement, it is part of the formula of reforms that transforms American public education, especially for our children served the worst and who are neglected the most in our schools. The education sector report comes amid what can only be called a rather counterproductive series of debates over what do we do about standards and what do we do about providing all children with high quality education. On one side, there's this debate over the Common Core state standards, which have been enacted by 46 states and the District of Columbia. Otherwise sensible reformers such as University of Arkansas education maven J.P. Green, Stanford University's Bill Evers, and Jim Sturgios of the Pioneer Institute, along with traditionalists such as Anthony Cody and Mike Klonsky, have opposed implementation of the standards. From where they sit, Common Core standards are hardly much better than what's done by states currently in place. They feel it's going to neuter innovation in curriculum development and will do little to improve student achievement. The fact that both the Obama administration and major reform players such as the Gates Foundation are backing Common Core is anathema to both movement conservatives, who are also reformers, and traditionalists, who are the most radical and rabid of that group alike. For, after all, if it has the imprimatur of the federal government, then it must mean that it's an effort to basically take over education. That's from the conservative perspective. While the fact that the Gates Foundation and other reformers with big money are in it means that, oh my gosh, it's a corporate takeover of the nation's schools. Yes, it is as silly as it sounds. Meanwhile, there's a much bigger debate. And the bigger debate is whether children should be held to high expectations at all. Whether they should get really strong, comprehensive college preparatory curricula. Now, you would think that this debate would have been over a long time ago, especially given the economy and the nature of our economic world today, where knowledge is more important than what you can do with your hands, but it hasn't abated. This debate has really gained traction a few months ago when Andrew Hacker, an emeritus political science professor at City College of New York's Queens College, declared that giving kids strong instruction and curricula in algebra and other high-level math is unnecessary. Why, from his perspective, making mathematics mandatory prevents us from discovering and developing young talent. That's his quote, not mine. And again, coming from Hacker, is depleting our pool of brain power because many students don't necessarily do well in algebra. Now, Hacker fails to consider a whole lot of things, including the fact that one of the reasons why so many kids are getting are not doing well in algebra is because they're not being given high level math in the early grades, that they're not getting the math instruction that they need. But that's not shocking. Let's be real. His view is not a new view. It is a view that has been echoed for decades by traditionalists who basically damn so many young kids, especially our poor and minority children, with low expectations and lackluster curricula that doesn't help challenge them and help them learn. Both perspectives, by the way, both the anti-Common Core side and the anti-giving kids high-quality curriculas, thinking, they're both wrong. If anything, all children need strong college preparatory learning, and we need to enact Common Core standards to set the floor for what children should be taught in school, especially in this increasingly knowledge-based economy. First, contrary to those who argue that only some kids can master strong, comprehensive college preparatory learning, the reality is that when children are given challenging curricula and are subjected to high expectations. They are going to be able to learn. And in fact, they will be able to hone natural talents, develop new skills, and become smarter and well-rounded young men and women who can converse with all people at all levels of society and contribute to every aspect of our lives in this world. For poor and minority students in particular, strong comprehensive college preparatory courses are particularly important because it can help them build self-esteem and be prepared for the challenges that they will face in the future. They may not always do well at first in those courses. They may struggle even. But the challenges that come from high standards and high expectations will help them be ready for the challenges that will face them later in life. As researchers Casey Klepfer and Jim Hall noted last month in a study released by the National School Board Association Center for Public Education, a low-income high school student who takes pre-calculus, calculus, or math above Algebra 2 is 22% more likely to stay in college beyond freshman year in a four-year setting than students who did not. A low-income student who took at least one advanced placement or international baccalaureate course is 18% more likely to stay in a four-year college than a peer who didn't take such courses, and has 30% more likely to stay in a two-year college, a community college course, than those who did not. This data echoes evidence gathered last year by the U.S. Department of Education that showed that high school graduates who completed an AP or IB course or any other high-level math or science course in ninth grade had averaged NAEP scores at the proficient level in both math and science. Simply put, challenging courses, along with high-quality teachers, strong school leaders, and cultures of genius that nurture the potential of our children, lead to children becoming able to graduate from high school and being successful in higher education and the working world. And this is especially important in our knowledge-based economy. If anything, one of the reasons why so many of our kids, especially 150 kids each hour who drop out of school and drop out into poverty and prison, they do so is because they are denied high-quality curricula. From the time they get into school until the time they leave, they're basically relegated to the ash bin, basically told that they can't learn and they are not capable of learning. And from efforts to ration what is perceived to be high-quality education, such as gifted and talented programs, to denial of opportunities to take AP courses, these kids, especially our poor minority kids, aren't given the challenge and the opportunities for challenge that they need to really develop their skills and to really gain high self-esteem. And so, as a result, they basically wallow in mediocrity until they finally drop out. This is where Common Core standards come in. Certainly the standards aren't as ideal as its supporters argue that they are. The reality is that strong standards on their own are meaningless without corresponding curricula and high-quality teaching. But at the same time, to think that just things as they are, the way we have our system with 50 cookie-cutter standards, and even more cookie-cutter standards when you get down to the classroom where teachers sometimes will ignore the standards at the state level, and districts will do whatever they want to do. The reality is, without Common Core standards, we are basically allowing these teachers and principals and school leaders to just do what they want to do. And in many cases, they're not equipped to do the job for our kids. These opponents of Common Core fail to remember that we have a moral, intellectual, and basically systemic reform obligation to provide all children with strong college preparatory curricula that they need in order to write their own stories. One of the underlying reasons why the nation is mired in an education crisis is because far too few of our children, especially from poor minority households, are getting are getting low-quality curricula. As the Thomas B. Fordham Institute noted earlier this year, 38 states had science standards that earned a C or lower in 2011, a 7-state increase over 2005. Just 13% of high school students took college preparatory courses, according to the 2009 National Assessment of Educational Progress. As Tom Luce, the former president of the National Science and Math Initiative, National Math and Science Initiative, has noted, there are too many students who should be taking AP courses, but they're either discouraged or not informed that they can do so, and their parents are also often steered away from getting their kids into those courses. In Fairfax County, Virginia, for example, considered one of the probably the nation's premier traditional school district, just 10% of Latino students took at least one AP course in the 2009-2010 school year. Just 10%, which means that most of the kids who did graduate from Fairfax County, most of the Latino kids, and in fact most of the students that did graduate from Fairfax County, didn't get the college preparatory learning that they needed for success. The curricula that students do get is often developed by teachers and districts themselves. And this is terrible, because it's often not really guided, they're not paying attention to the standards. And of course, as we note, this is a clear issue. Oftentimes, because the standards themselves aren't very good, the districts and the teachers try their best to improvise on oftentimes what are standards that are just of low quality in the first place. And this is terrible, because districts struggle to handle basic tasks such as providing students with high quality teaching. So expecting them to just come up with curricula to meet, just come up with their own standards and come up with curricula just doesn't work. And considering that far too many of our teachers lack the subject matter competency needed to properly instruct students, expecting teachers to really set their own standards and develop their own curricula just doesn't make sense. And this is where Common Core comes in. With Common Core, you're at least setting a high floor for our states, districts, and schools and teachers to follow in order to help all of our kids succeed. In the process, those standards will also help to foster cultures of high expectations in which our children's inherent abilities are nurtured. The standards can even allow for more innovation in curricula because there are now commonly agreed upon content areas around which a variety of curriculums can be developed. In setting these high standards, we are also meeting our moral obligation to our children to help them get the intellectual, spiritual, and economic nourishment that only comes from high-quality education. And this is no small thing. As Jesus Christ stated in Matthew 25:46, we have to do as much to educationally feed our children as we feed them physically. But as I said, just enacting the standards alone isn't enough. We have to overhaul how we recruit, train, and reward teachers. We should only choose those teachers who have the subject matter capacity as well as care and empathy for children needed to do well in classrooms, as well as the self-starter entrepreneurial ability to work in our classes. We must also revamp how we train school leaders and policies such as ability tracking and gifted and talented programs, and we must actually develop curricula that matches the standards. This is clear. This is the one part that Common Core supporters don't always really say, but this must be made clear. We must develop curricula that matches the standards. And yes, I will go on record and saying, yes, I'm all for developing a national Common Core curricula in reading and math in order to align with those standards. After all, what we've been doing for 140 years, just simply a cookie-cutter approach to education, just has not worked. And anyone who argues otherwise is fooling themselves. But let's be clear. Ultimately, we do need the standards. We need to put strong, comprehensive college preparatory curricula standards in place to spur the development of curriculum fit for our children's futures. We know the power of high standards. and we must use that power for all of our children. They deserve it, and we need to do it for them. Listen to the Dropout Nation podcast every Sunday. Also, read Dropout Nation every day for your news and commentary on the reform of American public education. And read my columns in The American Spectator and elsewhere. This is Dropout Nation. I'm Rashawn Biddle. You have a great night.